Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Time now to talk books with our reviewer, Cara Martin. This week we're looking at A Fine Balance by Rohinton Mistry. It's all about the final years of Indira Gandhi's controversial leadership of India. But here's the question, is it fact or non-fiction? Fiction or non-fiction? Let's find out. Cara, welcome.
Hello.
This is an interesting question to face about the book. Have you ever faced this question before?
No, I mean, usually it's very, very clear. I think what this writer has done brilliantly, though, is I mean, they're obviously fictional characters, but the criticism, the critique of the political situation and the leaders is so cutting, and the details, the historical facts around it are so accurate that it's actually... it's such a nice blend of fiction and not fiction.
So background us a bit on Indira Gandhi, such a significant yet controversial figure. How does the book portray her?
Well, this was interesting because when I grew up, I just saw her as, you know, one of those heroes, a female leader of a country. Yep. But reading back now, this book really sort of made me more interested in this period. And it was this particular period from 1975 to 1977 when she declared this state of emergency. And it was a political way of just stopping her opponents because it looked like she was going to lose power. And so what she did was declare this state of emergency, gave unprecedented powers to the bureaucracy and the police, and then was able to use that time to try and stay in power as long as possible. And I had no idea all this was going on.
Yeah.
And, I guess that's the purpose of this novel in part.
Mm. You say the book is about political decisions that are hastily made, pathetically implemented, probably not for the first nor last time. So how did it play out with her?
It's one of those stories about policies that seem really good that end up just being terrible. So she wanted to make things look good on the surface, but the impact on the poor and the powerless was just terrible. So she had this beautification program for the slums. And what did that do? That just meant that all the slum dwellers had their houses and possessions just razed to the ground and they were homeless.
Yep.
And then she had this other policy, which was to cut down unemployment. How did she do that? She just came around, collected all the unemployed people who were begging on the streets and then made them bond slaves of various building projects. And they had to work for the rest of their lives just for food and shelter. And then the other one that's told in the book that just like breaks your heart was they had a sterilization program to control population. And basically the policy was, you know, a reasonable idea, but you would have thought it would have to be delicately implemented. But no, because people were just given targets, they would round up anyone they could to be sterilized. And older people got sterilized, which is pointless. And then young people got sterilized and just heartbreaking.
Such another world.
and
yet, on the other hand, you mentioned the friendships, the family bonds and hope amidst all this.
Well, this is it. The fine balance in the book is actually between despair and hope. And, the book tells about the poverty of India in a very confronting way. And you hear it through the stories of feisty Dinah, who's a widow who's determined to try and make it on her own, even though in that society as a single woman, she is really disempowered. And then there's Manik, who's actually probably the most privileged of the four main characters, who's the son of a shopkeeper, but the times are changing and his father's shop is not a continuing business. And so he's come to Bombay to try and learn a new trade. Mm. And then there's two tailors who are a part of the untouchable caste, and that's Ishvar and his nephew Om Prakash. And what happens to all of them is just breaks your heart at times, but you become so involved in their stories. It's such a powerful way of you actually becoming part of that society and that culture and caring.
Two final things. Is there anything that we can take out of it with Christian faith?
Mm.
And I guess this answers itself. It just makes you feel how fortunate we are in this country.
Absolutely. I think one of the things about the book is that it really does take a very fatalistic line. These are people from a culture where if something bad happens to you, you just accept it as the will of the gods. And I think definitely as Christians, we have this hope of an interventionist God who responds to our prayers. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope of the next life. And so there's so much more that is there. And yet the example of these four people in their kindness to each other, they break down the barriers of caste and gender and those things. And that's very challenging, I think, for us as Christians. We've got an even bigger and better and brighter reason to do those things, to reach out and care for others. And, yeah, we should do it.
Beautifully put, as always. Cara Martin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.